Good afternoon, Seattle. Good afternoon to the tribes in canoes west of me, traveling in their large dugout canoes made from the last dying trees of the Peninsula of Despair. Good afternoon to the torpedo people of the Bermuda Triangle. They were turned into torpedo people by Nazi scientists in 1956. Nazi scientists that we brought back as part of Operation Paperclip. Good afternoon, torpedo people. You were doomed to be human torpedoes, giving birth to little baby torpedoes in the great blue sea. You live in that Bermuda Triangle zone. The Nazis installed an invisible fence. So what do, but seek revenge on sailboats and ships and large vessels of enormous size because of what? Your pain of being a torpedo person? It is Tuesday, January the 12th, 2021. Can you believe it? 2021. So I was wasting time in 2021 watching a stupid show on Netflix. And before I go too far down that road, I realize Netflix is probably owned by Satan, as well as Amazon and Facebook and Twitter and Google and pretty much the whole Death Star. And yeah, if you're mining Bitcoin, you're using a computer Satan sold you. So, sorry? Don't be all whatever. You know, God bless you for making, well, some lowercase g God bless you for making some money off the Bitcoin. And if you can do that, lowercase g God bless you. But actual, the only God, I don't think that's a blessing. But I get it, I get it. I mean, if you want to make money on the Death Star, you have to be on a grift. A grift, a Ponzi, a pyramid scheme, some fucking sideways fuckaroo. You make bombs, you make bets. You make your bed, now sleep in it, right? Yeah, I was watching something stupid on Netflix called Roswell. And the true source of origin of the show Roswell, and just full disclosure, I've only been able to watch about 10, 15, 20 minutes of the first episode, the pilot of season one. And so far, I don't think I'll make it to the end of the pilot. Sorry, Roswell. I'm just here drinking my Sanka, which I know has no caffeine. In reality, I'm drinking my Folgers, but people have no fucking sense of humor on the web, especially the trolls. Yeah, so I was watching that show Roswell, and in the first few minutes they have to virtue signal about, you know, undocumented workers, illegal aliens, the ICE people, you know, cracking down on the peoples, the man cracking down on the peoples. And you know what, guys? Here's the thing. I'm an anarchist. So if you ask me, I don't think the borders are real. The problem is, though, is that we live in a world where there are governments that run things that actually do believe the borders are real. So you kind of have to operate in that situation. You can have whatever fantasies you want in your head about the free movement of people. But if your good old Uncle Dan went to China right now, his life expectancy would probably decrease exponentially. If your good old Uncle Dan went to Mexico, his life expectancy would decrease, you know, exponentially. Not that I'm going to do that well in 2021 in the USA. No, 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 no. I just think if you believe people can move around, you have bought into a lot of New World Order propaganda. The reality is there are some places that are safe and there are some places that are not. There are places that are safe in this country and there are places that are not. There are places that are safe overseas and there are places that are not. And when I say safe, you can translate into that into any functor that defines the probability that you will be alive 10 days after visiting. Okay? But yeah, this fucking show had to, like, you know, give a little indirecto agitprop drama bullshit pointer direction to the whole, oh my God, and I just get sick of it. It's not an issue of whether or not the concept of an illegal alien is stupid. That's not an issue for me. I think the whole government is stupid. So when they put labels on us, you know, that's stupid. And here's the thing. If this character, as she drove into town, said, fuck the government, that would have been one thing. But it's the label. Fuck ICE. Screw this ICE bullshit. But her boyfriend, who's kind of sexy and from space, he's a cop and he's sexy, right? I mean, that's how that works, right? The government's fine as long as it's filled with sexy men. The government's great as long as the men are sexy. I love the government as long as there's a uniform for me to masturbate to. And then yesterday I made the mistake of watching this fucking show Island or One Land, because there's actually an II or a Two Land. It amounts to a crooked prison scheme, and I think it's some type of advertising for some sort of toxic, cancerous project that President Kamala Harris, VP to the current Dr. Jill Biden's husband, if you believe what's going on. Yeah, President Kamala Harris will probably want to have an island type situation. It won't work. It'll give people cancer. They'll die. But, you know, it'll be like, hey, you don't have to go to jail. You can go to virtual land. Virtual land where everybody knows that people from Texas are jerks. Where everyone knows that euthanasia is liberation. Come to virtual land where you're going to identify with a mother who killed her kids, because that was clearly the best answer to an abusive husband, is kill your kids. I mean, believe me, the show Island was filled with its own kind of mindfuckery, but at the very, very fucking end, it's like the people that run the prison are saying, thank you for helping us make this mindfuck better. Thank you for being a prisoner in the mindfuck for 20 plus years. Yeah, you got older, so it's a big fucking disappointment now that you're out. None of your insides work as they should, but fuck you and thank you. Fuck you and thank you. Thank you. fuck you and thank you. I have no more to say about that stupid show, Roswell. If I watch another episode, it is a sign of severe, severe depression. Some of this in my notes I've covered with Jim this week. Yeah, just so you know, Jim and I are going to probably try to do a podcast almost every day because we figure it's getting to be about that time of the year. Or that time of the fear. That time of the weird. I almost used the queer word. Oh, no, I did. That time of the queer, but that's homophobic. No, but queer means strange, doesn't it? Doesn't queer mean strange? Doesn't it mean weird? Does it have to be a homophobic bullshit? Can we regain control of our words, or does everything have to be destroyed by political correctness? The answer is yes. Everything must be destroyed. The only way the world can become a just place again is if we take every good fucking idea. Doesn't matter who came up with it, because we're gonna blame somebody for it. Take every great idea, put it in a pile, and set it on fire. Except for science, of course. I saw this YouTube commercial that was being done by some doctor, ostensibly a doctor of optometry. A doctor who fixes your eyeglasses and clears your field of vision. Shout out to my friend Jim. If you can say a prayer that Jim gets his eyeglasses on that topic. And I'm being serious. Prayers help. Say a prayer for Jim and his eyeglasses. Indeed, I saw a commercial on YouTube about an optometrist who was talking about how driving at night is crazy. These crazy freaking helium. What are they? Halon? Halifax? Yeah, these freaking really bright ass, these really, really bright headlights. You know, halogen, right? Halogen. You know what that's German for? Fuck you. Halogen means fuck you. Halogen in German means fuck you. Anyways. I was watching a YouTube video and this freaking commercial comes on as a way to like spike me for resources, because clearly Google doesn't, you know, needs the money. I know, it's not Google, it's the advertiser, and I'm sure this guy's a good guy. He must be a good guy, right? He's good looking in the video, though I kind of think it's one of these videos that gets thrown together on some website out of Singapore, and, you know, maybe the real optometrist isn't that good looking. But the guy in the video is very good looking. He says, you know what? Driving at night's crazy. These halogen lights are so bright. One time, I almost got into a car accident. I was driving late at night on the outskirts of Kentucky. I was driving late at night on the outskirts of Kentucky, being chased by the banshees of the Old South. As I drove down this road so late at night, I was getting tired thinking about the people I loved. I thought about the hundreds of miles I'd have to go before I'd make it home. I thought about the people I saw at that diner, that weird-looking man who kept staring at me. I thought about that old scrungly freak that was pushing his pushcart across the road. And how much I thought about hitting that scrungly freak, but no, 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 I decided not to. That means I'm a good dude. I almost got into an accident because of the glare of oncoming cars. And that's when I decided to do something about it. I became the hunter, and you became my feast. Yeah, I know. I could have reinvented eyeglasses to reduce glare at night, but that's not how it happened in this version. I became the hunter, and you became my feast. I looked for your car, your brand new late model Asian-owned company, but probably built in Mexico, speedster. No, I should have reinvented eyeglasses, but instead I hunt you. I am the hunter and you have become my feast. I would have preferred that commercial. That is the commercial I want to see now. I don't want to see the one about the optometrist or the eye doctor that reinvents glasses so people don't get into accidents because of the glare on the road. No. I want it to start out that way. But then I want to quickly move to, and I became the hunter. And you, Mr. Halogen, you became my feast. I sought vengeance against you and your bright headlights. I became the hunter. And you became my feast. Hob yab yabde. Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Sonic Box and the Twigleys because that's coming up. Oh, and I've already said this. I saw that movie, Republic of Rose Island, on the recommendation of someone that I know. And it turned out to be a good recommendation. If you're a libertarian or an anarchist or a voluntarist or an agorist or just, like I said, just an anarchist like Dan, you believe in freedom. It's a good documentary. It is a foreign film type thing. There's some dubbing that's not so great. And I gotta say, it tends to target stereotypes. So if you're not into overly simplistic stereotypes, it's probably not a movie for you. But it also does have some, you know, good structure. The entire plot is not terrible. Ostensibly it's based on a real story of a guy by the name of, I think, Giorgio Rosa, an engineer from Italy who decides to build his own private island off the coast of Rimini, just inside of, or I should say, outside of territorial waters, inside of international waters, 6 miles off the coast. And, you know, if we lived in a free world, I think that kind of thing could actually be a huge benefit. And let me explain why. I actually think that there are communities that would be willing to trade that if the benefit was ecological, for example. Like, I think that there's a lot of work to be done. Not government work, not work that results in taxes or people pointing guns at your head. If you think you have to solve problems that way, that's why we might be doomed. I mean actually solving problems. And I think that, for example, with respect to garbage. I could imagine a strategy whereby you could build archipelagos that could support life. You could turn the garbage into life. Okay? If the ozone layer is as screwed up as Dane Wigington says it is, this could be a strategy for giving the oceans a chance, because having that large floating island or islands could actually provide a habitat. And yeah, it's not a slam dunk, but my point is really quite simple. In a free world, a lot of people look at these things and they're not problems. They're potential opportunities to make the world a better place. We don't have to accept poison. We don't have to say to ourselves, the only solution to the Duwamish River is to hand out flyers to people saying, don't eat the crabs, you know? And by the way, that's a flyer that I got when I went to the Gentleman's Club. Prince Machiavelli's in El Paso. In the autumn of 1996, they would hand out a flyer saying, don't eat the crabs. Don't eat the crabs. Anyways, I thought it was a good documentary, docudrama, not a documentary. A movie, fictionalized history. I thought it was good fictionalized history. It made me think that I want to create my own republic called the Republic of Dan. Right here in my pod. And you'd say, Dan, how can you have the right to a Republic of Dan amidst an eviction ban where basically you're floating by like an existential squatter waiting to be squashed by the great banks and the real estate lords and the whores of the central banks and all the mongers of pain. And you say, how can you do this? How could you create a Republic of Dan? Well, it's really simple. First, you rent a movie that Sam Peckinpah made called Straw Dogs. And then you imagine that that country house is a little pod. And then you're like Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman, waiting to protect yourself from the skeevies and freaks. The Republic of Dan has one resident and one resident alien by the name of Dan. The Republic of Dan was founded under permits of Dr. Freckles' Global Tontine Club. It is the only social contract that pays frequent flyer miles. It's the only social contract that has reward points. Yeah, anyways, the Republic of Dan, also called Rod, since we have these short names like Chaz or the Capitol Hill Occupied Zone, the Autonomous Zone, the Occupied Protest. Let's just call it what it was. The government-funded commie freaks that dressed in black last summer. They had their own bullshit, so I'm going to have the Republic of Dan. I declare its existence as of yesterday. I have the means to defend Rod to the extent that a man can shove bamboo sticks through somebody's arm as he tries to grab through the little crack because there's a barricade and all he can do is get an arm through. He's not expecting bamboo sticks through his hands. I can have boiling water ready to go. And I can have other things and other capabilities because I am Rod. I'm Rod. In fact, probably I'm going to pick a... Yeah. Rod. I'm going to probably pick a Rod Stewart song as our Republic of Dan anthem. a Republic of Dan song, a Rod song. Doesn't he have a Saturday song? Saturday night. Isn't that a Rod, is that a Rod Stewart song? Or no, this'll be, holy crap, this is the Rod Stewart anthem for Rod. If you think I'm sexy and you think I'm whatever, come to Rod. Yes, we are power. Our power in Rod is derived from the cum scent of the governed. Yeah, this is not appropriate for kids. If you're a kid, you shouldn't be listening. Yes, the Republic of Dan, Rod, which has an anthem by the name of, by Rod Stewart, I think it's called If You Think I'm Sexy, our power is derived from the cum scent of the governed. I think I've killed that subject matter. Let's move on. Don't want to talk about the clathrate gun again because it's too depressing and there's probably nothing you can do about it. It's just a question of how bad it's going to be. Don't want to talk about this this apostasy, heretical crap I have in my notes. You can see it. A friend of mine from St. Louis, a man who is known as the great captain of the Missouri River, he was going up and down the river for decades before they ever figured out how to do things whatever the right way. He did them the wrong way, but he got his shipments through. Yeah, a friend of mine from St. Louis has been bringing up this idea repeatedly, that the word jab, J-A-B, is constantly being used with respect to this, well, I don't want to say this because that implies singular, to those vaccines that are told won't really help with the transmission, won't really help with the curing, won't really help with your immunity. Yeah, that sounds like a really great poison you're going to give me. Thank you for the jab. Jab. You remember the jab? No, my friend from St. Louis has mentioned that they keep calling it the jab. Get the vaccine. Well, jab is a boxing term. Okay? So imagine you're watching Monty Python's Flying Circus, okay? Back in the 70s, John Lennon was still alive. And so was Kurt Cobain, though he was a young man. Back in the 70s. Yeah. If this was a Monty Python skit, it would be basically you stand in line for an hour, you get up to some British officer, he calls for some sergeant with a freaking metal glove on, and they punch you in the arm. There, you've got your jab. Move on. To jab is a boxing term. Yes. It's used informally to describe giving people a hypodermic, giving them a needle, but it's a violent term. It is. It's a term that it refers to an action that might not be voluntary, to take a hit. You know, don't worry about it. It's just a little pinch. You'll just get a little sick. Don't worry about it. You'll just get a little sick. You want food? You want housing? You want to live in that brand new building that used to be a homeless shelter? Where'd the homeless go? Don't ask. Don't ask, okay? If you want food, you want shelter, you want housing, you want a job. I know. I spoke to a recruiter today. I can tell you, they mentioned the vaccine. Maybe by next summer when we have the vaccine, everybody will be able to get back to work once they've gotten jabbed, punched in a very painful way. Once you've been punched, once you've been physically abused, then you can go back to work and you can eat. That's assuming you don't die. One of the horrible thoughts I've had recently is that the mask itself may be related to the need to intensify geoengineering, but even more horrible was the idea that it might be conditioning. Like, there might be a general expectation that atmospheric oxygen levels are going to go below 11% at some point. Like, we're going to get below 15% and then we're going to get below 11%. The point is, we might at some point get to half the level, at least in many cities. That might be why they're having people wear masks, because they want people to get used to low oxygen. They don't really care about the brain damage. That's fucking irrelevant to them. But they do want people to get used to the idea that you actually have to have something called photosynthesis to get a lot of this oxygen. And since we've been killing a lot of the ocean that does most of that work, we don't get as much oxygen. I know it sounds crazy. Oh, Dan, you're like Greta Thunberg. No. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want a law to make you do anything. I'm simply asking questions. If there's a problem, the only solution is freedom. That's my answer. If your answer is an army or a cop or a lawyer, you're doing it wrong. It's fucked. Next topic, though. But anyways, I'm going to skip through it because I've talked about a few of these things. Ooh, when food gets scarce, by the year 2027, the human race will have consumed all of the old gum from underneath tables. By the year 2027, all the gum will be gone and they'll have to move on to the turds and the scringulate, the grunuli. That will run out too. People will want their protein. Now, of course, by the year 2027 or 2024, one can't be sure. These are doorways into time. By the year 2027, food will be scarce. We will, by that time, consumed all of the old bubble gum from underneath the tables. We will have consumed all the other grodies and croties, the stuff that kids would rub on your arm as a filthy nurkle. Yes, all that will be consumed. And before we get to, you know, true cannibalism, someone will propose, well, what about semen harvesting? Because you can mix it with curry And then you can just put it on the rice. And when I say rice, the rice of 2027 will really be mostly shredded cardboard and old pulverized concrete and, you know, metal shavings and sawdust. They'll call it rice. You'll really want to put something on it. That's right, by 2027, and I'm going to move on. This is horrible. Horrible, horrible. This is disgusting and horrible, Dan. You're so terrible. Why do you have to be so gross? I don't know. Maybe because I'm under the influence of low oxygen and the sobriety of knowing that the world is drunk with crazy, and crazy drunk crazy is crazy, crazy drunk. And people are ready to go insane, and they don't care about their neighbors because they care about who they voted for. Right, but you don't care about your neighbors. That's good. Keep moving on. I don't mean everybody. If you listen to this podcast and you donate to this old hobo, you're good. And if you listen but you don't donate, you're good too. I'm just kidding around. Not everybody's bad. Sometimes it feels like the world has gone crazy. Sometimes it feels like every fucker you meet is crazy and evil. But what if that's just more of the bullshit they're feeding us? What if that's more of the crap? It's something to think about. I don't have all the answers, but something to meditate on, right? To meditate on. Meditate on it, right? Yeah, meditate. If I gave you $25,000, another one of these fucking YouTube commercials, and I hate them because they'll be like the dude who's living in some fucking McMansion suburb with a wide-angle fucking video camera making his home look 55,000 square feet. And invariably, he'll say to you, "How do you think I became so rich?" And my answer will be, "Sucking cock." No, it's a cash flow. You get into the cash flow business, Dan. Well, what's the cash flow business? Well, are you okay with calling people in rest homes and long-term care facilities? Are you okay? This one commercial starts with, "If I gave you $25,000, and this is how I want it to be. This is the commercial and how it should be." He says that shit, I punch him in the face, and I'll say, "I tell you what I'd do, you know, after you give me the 25 big ones. I'd hire a hitman down at Joe's Bar for $5,000. I think a $5,000 Joe's Bar hitman is about what I'd need for you, speed freak. And then I'd take the rest and I'd spend it on hookers and cocaine and a 9mm Uzi Peckinpah style shootout. To cap it all off, the hookers and the cocaine and the Uzi and the shootout. Probably at the Canadian border, because it seems like everything, every movie or show is being shot in Canada now. Even the ones that need to be in the desert. It seems like they're shot in Canada. Probably in one of those desert-like provinces of Canada. Probably. If I gave you $25,000, stop right there, scumbag. If you gave me 25 grand, I would take that money and I would rent a place someplace, I don't know where, you don't need to know, and I would spend whatever time I had left doing what I want to do. Probably not drinking as much because I think it truly is losing its flavor. probably exercising more, probably trying to write more, probably trying to do a lot of stuff better, you know, maybe even become a better pastor, although I'm not really sure that's going to happen if you gave me $25,000. And you know what, guys, we're not supposed to wait around for people to give us money, but yet we've been convinced that's how the world works. You know, the stimulus check, I don't know if you got a check or not. I got the first one. I didn't get this one yet. It could be a psych, like, psych, you'll get it soon. But my guess is because I didn't, you know, do a tax return for last year, because there was no conceivable rule of law. There was no conceivable government that we should even rationally want to fund. We were being treated like prisoners in a scumbag paradise. So no, I did not do my tax return to the fucking prison. So sorry. So sorry. I did not do my tax return for the prison complex. And so that might be why I didn't get my stimulus. I don't know. I truly don't know, because as an anarchist, I'm horrified. On the one hand, it's money. And I could use the money as long as it buys shit, because why? I gotta eat, I gotta sleep, I gotta convince my landlord I have some kind of cash flow. So I could take that money and give a little to my landlord, thereby avoiding the Peckinpah style straw dog scenario where I am hobo Dustin Hoffman like Ratsy Rizzo instead of his character who's writing a story, you know. Anyways, writing about battles and shit. I could be Ratsy Rizzo from Midnight Cowboy. Midnight Cowboy meets Straw Dogs. Both Dustin Hoffman. I could do that. John Voight could come along, he could show up at the beginning of the movie, knock on my door and say, my name is Buck and I want to fuck. My name's Buck and I know how to fuck. I forget what he used to say in that movie. It's a good movie. If you've never seen Midnight Cowboy, it's got a good soundtrack. It's got a great soundtrack. It's a great film. It's one of those stories that never grows old, and it's on a certain level, it's a story of friendship between misfits, and friendship between misfits is sometimes the strongest friendship because you're a misfit, you know. Anywho, next topic. I don't want to talk about Schrodinger syndrome. I think I may suffer from it. My general philosophy of health, whether or not I poison my body with alcohol or other stuff, is the following. If I don't look, there's no problem. If you say to me, Dan, you're 50 years old, you need to have a proctal exam, you need a telescope apparatus shoved up your butt, what are they going to find? They're going to find tumors and then tell me, well, we got to take out sections of your intestine. That's going to cost $100,000. We need to take out your limbic system. That's going to cost $50,000. It's going to be another $300,000 in the hospital as you know, wait for your results. Yeah. Thank you, doctor. So instead, I practice what's called the Schrodinger's approach to health. I don't look. If you don't look, you can never be sure. Sure, you might think you have some disorder, but once the pain is gone, you're fine. And maybe the reality is the body can heal itself mostly if we eat food that's not terrible, if we breathe air that's not poisonous, if we live lives that are not bad for us. But if you spend an entire year living in a hellish masstopia of multi-level scammery and other types of mindfuck bullshit as commies march by without any social distancing, but God forbid you go to church, as Walmart sells its shit, but God forbid you go to church, right? Which God? Lowercase g God, I think. You know, I can watch outside my window. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The construction workers wear masks because they know that somebody could videotape them, but they don't wear them very well. They certainly don't cover their noses in most cases. I don't really give a fuck. I don't care what they do. What's obvious to me is that this pandemic is not slowing down construction. What's even more obvious is that the commies infiltrating and marching and being douchebags last summer probably was an impetus to replacing a homeless shelter with some sort of fucking real estate scheme they're building next door. That's reality. The reality is that Guardian article that said they somehow stopped or burned down the King County blah blah blah. Sorry, journalism from England. Not only is that story total bullshit, but in reality they probably sped up the project. Probably project managers got more resources to build the prison faster. Why don't I look? Why don't I send a team of scientists the size of tadpoles into my sphincter zone like it's a fantastic journey, a fantastic voyage a la Raquel Welch? Why doesn't Raquel Welch shrink down into a shrink suit, a rubber suit that shows off her bodice? Why don't they go into their submarine and head up the magic canal? Why don't they? Why don't they take a journey up the magic canal? Why don't they? Anywho, I don't want to talk about my health issues. I've been too cringe about that. Next topic. Don't want to talk about this. Don't want to talk about that. You know what I'll talk about? I'll talk about the Scrunglies. So there's been a weird noise in the walls. I've hypothesized it could be a device that landlords buy. They will set it up adjacent to an apartment where they want to drive somebody out. And so it amounts to a mechanical system. You put it in the wall, you put it underneath the apartment or to the side of it or above it that you want to drive someone crazy, drive them out. It makes noises that synchronize the things that are coming through the interweb. They control the internet. That's what they do here. That's part of the package, right? Yes, it'll make noises and loud screams. It'll be like a fun house, but it's not fun. It's designed to make you go crazy. Of course, that could be paranoid. I think that could be paranoia. But the other theory I had is that there are these demons called Scrunglies. Scrunglies are loosely related to French bulldogs genetically. They have most of their genetic material in common. In fact, there's great overlap between scrunglies, flatworms, hermit crabs, and French bulldogs. Scrunglies are demons that crawl in the walls. They're flat like a flatworm. They move through the walls. They move around. They have five or six eyes. They stick out their tentacles through little cracks. You can barely see them, but you can see them. They're big. They're big, but they don't want you to know they're there. If you ever do crack open the wall and one's there, it has to kill you. They're parasites made of broken glass and gasoline and sawdust and hell's oil. They live in the sinful space, the depravity, the barbarism of the soul feeds on it. The expanding realm of demonic lies, the dark energy they emit. They knock on your walls. They tell you they are there. They tell you they're watching. They desire your fear as an aphrodisiac. They desire your death as an offering to Baal, to Moloch, to Dagon, to all the Canaanite gods, ultimately to Lucifer. They are being sent here because your land has become fallow and your hearts are turning to stone. Only the Scrunglies grow here now in Little Saigon and Seattle. Only the Scrunglies live here now as our hearts are turned to stone. Only death's last harvest or the first. Maybe death is outsourcing. Yeah, I don't know. There's a madness out there. If you live in a city, there is a madness. I've talked to Jim about this. It is a madness that's taken hold. It is a madness that was engineered, a madness that was constructed, that was built. It is a madness that was meant to be this crazy, this insane, this destructive. It is a madness that was meant to harm, meant to break. It's a madness that I don't believe is accidental. I think it was engineered. It is a madness that is out there and it's inside. And somehow we have to separate ourselves from it. But how do we do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it without becoming destroyed? How do you fight off the Scrunglies? They're right inside the wall waiting for you. They stare at you at night while you sleep, these giant flatworms. If you stare back too hard at them as they look at you, and guess what? That blinking light on your fire alarm, that's not the little LED, that's the eyeball of a Scrungly. You stare back at that, it stares back at you, it might take you away. So I hope you guys have a great day. I hope you can wake up to the magic of the Scrunglies, the transcendental parasites, the Mingot freaks. I hope you can embrace the fungi and the flowers of tomorrow. I hope that you can look out upon the street and the dead rats and the dead cats and say, this is in fact the organic goo that will bring forth life tomorrow. I hope you can look out upon all the construction workers that don't seem to stop and just ignore the question, how is it they're all so fucking immune? It doesn't matter. These are not questions you were ever meant to ask or answer. Watch over yourself as you struggle on these streets. Don't go insane. Watch over yourself as you climb the mountain of Bojimbulus. Do not go insane. Watch over yourself as you walk your dog. If you walk a French bulldog, please do not go insane. If you live next to people who might be crazy, don't make them crazier, and please don't go insane. Just do your best to not go crazy.